If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
What's the best way to reduce? Eat plenty or starve yourself?
30 pounds in just 18 weeks, Jenny Craig totally worked.
I love to eat, but overeating made it impossible to lose weight.
My body wants bread, and I'm going to give my body what it wants. Oh my God.
So I lost naturally.
Medical studies prove that overeating is the number one reason for weight gain. If you need to lose weight, you really should lose weight and bring your weight down.
Welcome to Fat Camp, a podcast that throws a comedy eye over our societal obsession of diets. Now, a little disclaimer, we are not health experts, but we are fad diet connoisseurs. I'm your host, comedian Grace Mulvey.
And I'm your co-host, Connor Dowling.
Welcome to Fat Camp.
Hello, welcome to a new episode of Fat Camp. Connor, how are you?
I am amazing. I'm so happy to be here today in our wonderful podcast studio. I'm not boasting about it. I'm just like, so grateful.
So happy to be on the podcast network. And right now, we are recording during a heat wave. We've said this over a few episodes.
We are melting.
We are currently in a sauna.
Yes.
Of appreciation.
Oh, yes.
To record here.
What's this episode about, Grace?
Okay, this episode is about... Thank you for asking, Connor, first of all. This episode is about 10,000 steps and wristwatches that track your steps. Okay. Basically, you know, your Fitbit.
Okay, yes.
Your Garmin's, all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
okay?
Yes.
So I say, I'm going to talk about this, right? Because I actually found this a really enjoyable to research and go through. And it also has been sort of affecting me lately. Listen, we're all affected by diet culture. We know we all get touched up by it at some point. Weirdly lately, I am currently wearing, right now as we sit here, a wristwatch.
Wow.
That tracks my steps. A Garmin, not to give Garmin product placement here, but it's very fancy and I love it and I bought it like last year and everything like that, right?
It looks very nice, actually,
And you know, it goes with everything.
It's gold,
gold
and white.
Gold and white, guys, it goes with everything. Well, I'll put up a picture online when it comes out, but it goes with everything, right? Product placement. I don't get paid by Garmin. I'm not important enough.
But we will one day.
But we will one day. So kind of, I've heard a few bits, like I have an aim on my Garmin for 10,000 steps a day, right? 10,000 steps, it has become part of like the kind of diet culture zeitgeist.
Big time.
We all know that that is a number that we all are meant to kind of aim for. And yet, no one knows why. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. It's almost like the kind of thing of like, breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Mm.
Like, there's certain sayings we kind of go with and we go, oh, that's what everyone's meant to do.
Milk does a body good. Hashtag fuck milk.
Hashtag fuck milk. Our vegan Connor he always wants to get fuck milk in there somewhere. So I decided, right, listen, I'm gonna see if this, we can get an episode out of this. My God, can we get an episode out of this? It's nuts.
Really?
There was a lot of information, a lot of myths to be busted.
Okay,
here.
Well, because I thought we were almost at the end of the episode.
Hello, my name's Grace Mulvey. I'm Connor Dowling. Goodbye.
10,000 steps.
Goodbye.
Do them. Don't. Done.
It's up to you. So I'm going to, just from the get-go, before we even go into it, for all the research I kind of did on this episode, I basically got most of my information from three particular well-written and researched articles. Two in The Guardian, one in 2018 by David Cox, another in 2019 by James Taper, and another in The Atlantic, May 2019 by Amanda Mull.
Did you check the Harvard Fitness Codex?
No, I didn't.
That's not a thing.
When I was writing this thesis, I like to reference, the reason I'm referencing these three is because there's a lot more information about it that you can, if you want to read up on it yourself, you can at home go do it. But I also think, you know, when like journalists put so much effort into giving you this information,
and
I'm like, oh, thank you so much, because it's very hard,
totally.
As we know, we've talked about this before, everything in diet culture, really hard to find critical thinking about diets or diet products, because there's so much money behind the diets that anytime you look it up, they're only going to show you the pros. They're never going to show you like people where the diet hasn't worked, or we know 95% of diets don't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or it doesn't work for 95% of people. But it's very hard to find the cons of diets. So like, that's why I wanted to reference these articles, because they've really put the effort in to, yeah. to like write it
and
up.
And it's also so hard to find stuff about something that is just so ingrained and yeah. has become just like a bit of like accepted knowledge. Oh, yeah. 10,000 steps. Like when I hear a diet show or a dietitian or a fitness person or like a YouTube fitfluencer, yeah. Saying with such confidence, like everyone knows it's scientifically proven,
yeah, yeah.
we need to get 10,000 steps a day. Like, you know, me and the average person are just like, oh yeah, I accept that as being yeah. experts say it, yeah. scientists say it, you know, but do I ever go like, what were the tests? When was this
yeah.
done?
Yeah.
So I am really curious to hear about
and
it.
And also, like anytime you go, oh, this is the standard for everyone. We know everyone's
yes.
different.
Yes.
So
oh my God.
It's very, very odd that yeah. we all go, oh yeah, 90 years old, get those 10,000 steps in. Like, you know, yeah. we obviously, people are very different. Your bodies are different. Your needs are different.
yeah.
But it's just funny. We take it. Everything is like the golden standard.
Totally.
So, okay. Just to start off, an entire industry has been built on the claim that 10,000 steps a day are necessary to be healthy. But where does that figure come from? Well, 10,000 steps, which by the way is a completely arbitrary figure, okay? Just a little hint,
nice
folks.
Round number for you there.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not weird, it's not 9,998 steps,
yeah.
isn't it? So the 10,000 steps is one that originates from a successful Japanese marketing campaign in the mid-60s. 1960s, just in case you were thinking it was the 1660s.
It's not from feudal Japan, no?
When the last samurai... So, in an attempt to capitalize on the immense popularity of the 1964 Tokyo Olympics, which, just funny enough that we're going through the 2021 Tokyo Olympics.
Oh!
Sorry. Yeah.
Wow, we've come full circle.
We've come full circle.
It's taken me that long to do 10,000 steps. Okay. Wow.
Imagine, like, in this one, they're like, by the way, surprise, now it's 20,000. We've
yeah,
doubled
oh
it.
Oh my God.
For every Olympics. So basically, in an attempt to capitalize on the popularity of the Tokyo Olympics in 1964, the company, and I apologize for going to be butchering some
She's
Japanese
gonna butcher it.
Names here. Yamasa designed the world's first wearable step counter.
Oh, yes.
A device called the Mampo Key, which translates to 10,000 step meter.
Okay.
Okay. So, Professor David Bassett, the head, like basically the head of recreation and sports studies in the University of Tennessee, says there wasn't any evidence for it at the time. They just felt that that was a number that was indicative of a healthy lifestyle and, you know, a healthy active lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Aimin Lee, a professor at Harvard University, says on conversations she has had with Japanese researchers, she believes the name was chosen for the product because the character 10,000 looks like a sort of man walking.
Oh,
so the Japanese character looks like a man walking.
10,000.
So as far as she knows, the actual health merits of the number have never been validated by research. So once again, the 10,000 step number came from a marketing campaign where they essentially plucked out yeah. this number. Some people think it was just like, because the name of the actual step counter was called 10,000, so they just said 10,000 steps. And others are like, oh, actually, the Japanese symbol looks like a man
yeah.
walking. So that's why they picked it.
So like, yeah,
completely
like,
arbitrary.
So it's kind of like, it's almost like a chicken and egg thing. It's like maybe they called their pedometer or their step counter thing 10,000 steps in Japanese
yes.
because it looks like that character.
Or
maybe it's the other way around.
The fact is that like it came from a marketing campaign.
Yes.
And so many times that we find out in diet culture, so many things start from a marketing
totally.
Campaign. Okay, so a research team at the, I'm going to butcher this, I'm so sorry, Kyushu University of Health and Welfare began to investigate the potential benefits of taking 10,000 steps. They concluded the average Japanese person took between 3,500 and 5,000 steps a day. And that if these people increase their step count to 10,000, they would decrease their risk of coronary artery disease,
okay.
right? But while the World Health Organization and many others have gradually adopted this 10,000 steps for daily activity, in recent years, the number has been called into question. So Mike Brannan, the national lead for physical activity for the Public Health of England, has said there is no health guidance that exists to back any of this up.
Wow.
Okay. So it's almost like even the World Health Organization, which they have done recently, we know, with like obesity and other things, kind of just went, oh, these people seem to be saying this and like we might not have the funds to kind of go into that much research. Yeah, we're good to go. 10,000 steps. Let's go for this, lads. So while most scientific studies have been conducted to test whether 10,000 steps a day is optimal for health themselves are relatively arbitrary, they simply compare people who have done 10,000 steps a day with those who have done far lower numbers, like such as 3,000 or 5,000, and then measure the calories burned and blood pressure. That's kind of, so basically like how they're saying, like any studies that have kind of been like, oh, and no, it is 10,000, have basically been saying, because the people who've done 10,000 steps are burning more calories than the ones who do 3,000, which everyone's like, well, duh.
It's like if you were running like or doing weights you know, and someone wasn't doing it, you were going to get more results than someone who's not doing that.
Well, it's almost like if I step off the couch three times and you step off the couch once, I burn more calories, but I don't know if that really measures.
Can we monetize that?
Monetize my ass. This number keeps being reinforced because of the way research studies are designed. So the study might find 10,000 helps you lose more weight than 5,000. Then the media see it and report, you should be doing 10,000 steps. But that could be because the study was only tested, has only tested two numbers. It didn't test like 8,000 steps or 12,000 steps, okay? A big challenge, basically, that the public and media have is that they want, we all want, cut and dry black and white messages and findings. And science just doesn't operate like that. Okay. The uncertainty in the research doesn't get translated well into messaging. So people who just want to know what they should do. And that's what we all do. We're all kind of like kids sometimes. We're like, can the big parents of the World Health Organization tell us what to do so that I don't have to make another decision in my life because everything's overwhelming and the world is burning?
And you know? Science findings are often very underwhelming. Like, so a scientist could be like, we have discovered that this method is massively better than this other method. And you're like, really? By how much? And they're like, 7% more. And they are like so excited about this. You know, it's like all their Christmases. And we're like, 7%? That, I'd rather just not do that new thing. You know?
And if you put an O at the end of that 70%, baby, I'm doing
or
it.
Or just for marketing purposes, take out the percentage and just say that it's better.
Yeah.
You know, and say that it's more effective. And then people will go, oh, well, this one's more effective than the other. It's like, yeah, but it's only by 7% more.
That's so true. Like, I always find, you know, in ads and they have like the little fine print at the end. I'm always like, I'd love to pause it and be like, what exactly does that say? And it probably says like, 1% of people found that this was able to make them lose weight and they were happier. 99% of people died.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, even like this is how much things are kind of constantly changing. Even in 2018, the American Heart Association released new guidelines to emphasize the importance of even short bursts of activity, which previously they had dismissed as inconsequential. So like people keep doing this thing where they're like, okay, to hit my 10,000 steps, I'm going to go out in like an hour and a half walk sort of thing. And like before, everyone would have been like, yeah, go do that. But now they're even like, actually just short bursts of exercise will do fine.
True.
We're always updating these things.
Yes.
So the only thing that like a lot of these professors and stuff could basically agree on was like wear sunscreen and get 8 hours of sleep. Okay, everything else is kind of up for grabs. But one last thing was like one of the major problems with the 10,000 steps a day goal is that it doesn't take into the account the intensity of exercise. Yeah. Right. So getting out of breath and increasing your heart rate may well even be more important than the exact number of steps taken. Researchers are conducting studies to see whether people who take 10,000 steps a day by merely pottering around the house achieve the same health benefits as those who are doing it by like walking or brisk or like playing sports.
Yeah, like when you hear about 10,000 steps, there's this assumption that pottering about the house and getting your step count up is going to be as beneficial, if not more beneficial. Like it's an implication. It's never directly said, but it's going to be as beneficial, if not more beneficial, than someone who goes out and does like an intense like 2K walk, like a 2 kilometer walk, which will actually only give you about 2,000 or 3,000 steps. But what's giving you more exercise? A gradual increase, 4 steps here, 10 steps there. So, you know what I mean? That's something that's always bothered me because when I've got a pedometer on my phone, you know, I'm not a watch guy, like, you know.
these wrists, these beauties.
You're gonna cover up these bad boys. Crazy, man, you're crazy. But I will go out and I'll do a 5K walk. and I'll come back and it'll be like, congratulations, you've done 5,000 steps. And I'm like, so I'm supposed to do another 5K walk today to get up to 10,000 steps? You're mad. If you and I, me being a taller man, if you and I go out on the same 5K walk, we'll probably come out, you've done more steps than I have.
Oh my God, you know, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I know that because I would often go out with on walks with my partner.
Like I love you're like, I only know short people.
Yes. or my mom, you know, so I'd go out with like smaller women for walks and they would take more steps. I would take bigger steps so I get less steps. But we're doing this, we're covering the same distance.
This is so interesting. God, I never considered this. Me being a shorty at 5'4", that I'm like, my steps are amazing.
Sure,
But like, but it's interesting that you say that because I'm going to cover it in a little bit. But I have found lately, I've become obsessed with the 10,000 steps.
Right, okay.
So I do some HIIT training a few times a week, whatever, because I'm working from home.
I thought you were about to say hitchhiking. I don't want to pay for public transport.
Yeah. But, you know, but I'm still obsessed with the steps. So even if I've done a workout that day, if I don't hit my 10,000 steps, I get really down on myself. And I'm going to go into more personal stories where people have started finding this weird sort of like, I have to hit this
number. I turned my bed into a treadmill.
I walk in my dreams and my nightmares. Okay.
Walked into hell,
So I suppose the next question is, what are the right amount of steps, right? Scientific or not, this branding ingenuity has travelled around the globe and eventually, obviously, onto the wrists and pockets of millions of people where we're all obsessed with the 10,000 steps. In her research, Lee put it to the test, observing the step totals and mortality rates of more than 16,000 elderly American women. The study's results paint a more nuanced picture of the value of physical activity.
That must have been a very depressing study, by the way. I just want to say, like, okay, so this person walked 5,000 steps a day, died. This person walked 8,000 steps a day, died. You know what I mean? That must have just been so, like,
I also
miserable.
Just think, like, watching 16,000 elderly American women walk, just, like, from a boring point of view, like, just watching a very slow walk happen 16,000 times. The basic finding was that at 4,400 steps per day, these women had significantly lower mortality rates compared to the least active women, who must be doing like what, 50 steps a day? I have no idea. If they did more, their mortality rates continued to drop until they reached 7,500 steps, then at which point the rates leveled out.
So
it didn't matter.
Okay.
If they did more than 7,500 steps, their mortality rates didn't drop any lower.
Right.
So it was like basically like, essentially, the findings were increasing daily physical activity by as little as 2,000 steps, less than a mile of walking, was associated with healthier outcomes. So it's essentially like, basically, if you're a person who didn't do any exercise yesterday, if you went and did like 2,000 steps today, more than you did yesterday, you've got a healthier outcome. And like, But at 7,500 steps, she was like, there was no more healthier outcome.
So it's like the law of diminishing returns. So it's like, if you do your 7,500 steps, you might, like, let's say, to just put a simple measure on it, you might lose a pound of weight or something like that. But if you 10,000, you're going to lose the same pound.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
If you do 20,000 steps, you probably do yourself some sort of damage or something like that.
But this is so true. Yeah, exactly. And one thing that was like, you know, one of the experts basically said, like, listen, we know that sedentary lifestyles are bad. And if you're taking fewer than 5,000 steps a day on average, this can lead to like increased risk of bone loss, muscle atrophy, you know, particularly for diabetics and other issues. But at the same time, there seems to be an obsession about 10,000 and how many steps are enough. Yet what's more important really is to ask the question, how many steps are too few?
Okay.
Not what really is like in a day.
So have a minimum.
Yeah, just to go, oh, do you know what? Like, I just want to go for a quick walk.
Yeah.
I always think as well, you know, at the end of the day where you're like, I've been indoors all day, I feel disgusting.
Yeah.
You actually just go, I'd love to go for a walk. And then you go out for a walk and you're like, this is fantastic. I feel amazing. And it could be a 20-minute walk, whatever. But it's this weird thing that like you could come back and have done maybe 5,000 steps, as you say, and then go,
your
Garmin watch goes, hey, hey, bitch.
Yeah.
You haven't hit those 10,000 steps. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then you feel like a failure, even though your body might be like, loved that walk, happy out now, let's go sit down. So scientists have attempted to calculate the exact number of steps, right? And basically have come to this, I would love to know what you guess the scientists say of how many minutes of exercise you should do a day and kind of what intensity a day, what they've basically come to a conclusion of. Because I think in our quite fitness-obsessed world, mm-hmm. we would think
okay,
this is mad.
My guess is 20 minutes moderate exercise.
Baby girl, you're 10 minutes shy.
Oh, okay.
30 minutes of moderate exercise per day.
Okay.
So that basically is aiming for like 7,500 steps, maybe.
Right.
Like, you know, and yes. that's depending on what exercise you do. But I was like, moderate exercise, that's kind of walking. Mm-hmm. Like even if it's walking like it to your kitchen and yeah. to your, you know,
it's
like
not,
it's moving
it's
around.
It's not
like,
a couple of extra steps around the house like
yeah.
that'll add up to that. That
yeah.
To me, that like, yes, okay, moving is probably going to be better in some cases than not moving.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I don't think that the cumulative like, you know, oh yeah, like I've seen people who are like, oh, I work in a bar or I work in a hospital and I'm on my feet walking from place to place all day and I easily do 17,000, 20,000 steps a day without really kind of breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
But they're not getting a workout. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not getting exercise. Like their breathing is never intensifying.
Yes.
The blood isn't being pumped around their body and endorphins aren't being released in the same way as when you do a concentrated walk for 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers, whatever.
But 30 minutes, like I found that actually quite, I don't know, like I do these high intensity workouts, mm-hmm. right? They're 20 minutes. Then like, you know, you're the body coach, let's just say, whatever. Yeah. And then I'll be like, okay, then I'll go back to work and then I'll be like, oh sugar, I've only done 2,000 steps. Better go out and hit the 10,000.
Yeah.
Then I do like 8,000.
Oh
but
my God.
It's never enjoyable. Yeah. And I will be out in the, like I've been out in the park the last few days. Lovely park, lovely weather. And I'm literally like, oh, another 2,000 to go. Mm-hmm. Like what enjoy, it takes away from the enjoyment because I'm like, I'm not hitting 10,000 steps, which means I'm lazy so-and-so. Even though I've done all this other exercise.
I think this is very interesting, right? And I'm totally on board with this. But I want to play devil's advocate for a second and just get us to think about this and go like, could it be that, you know, I never think that beating yourself up for not hitting some sort of exercise target, I never think that that's going to be a good idea. But do you think that if you're given a goal of 10,000 steps, you're more likely to try and achieve that goal? Like if someone says like, hey, do 1,000 steps today.
Yeah.
You know, will that kind of lower your ambition and lower, and as effect, and as an outcome of that, lower your, the amount of time you exercise in that day. So if someone says, you know, you should be aiming for 10,000 steps, if you aim for it, like I have found myself aiming for it, and mm-hmm. I'll be like, right, I'll go out and I'll do a 5K walk, and I'll come back and I'll be like, 6,000 steps. Like I'm not about to do another few kilometers so I can hit that 10K. But it got me to do a 5K walk. Yeah. So that's positive in a sense. So long as I'm not like obsessing over it has to be 10K, because if I did, like, I don't have time to do a 10K walk every single day, like, because that's what it would take for me to get 10,000 steps, according to these multiple phone pedometers that I've had. Like.
But this is the thing, and I totally agree. Like, I think there are definite pros to these watches and being like, oh my God, like, you know, I did this. Oh, sure, I might do a little 10-minute walk or whatever to kind of like get my steps up a little bit. But I think, I know from even being around, and I'm going to talk a bit about the pressure. I have some stories lined up. But like, I know my mom doesn't have one of these watches, right?
Okay.
And she'll just go, oh, I never got out for my walk today. Mm-hmm. And her walk could be 20 minutes, half an hour. Or her walk could be a big walk. But it kind of depends on her mood. Mm-hmm. And I find myself now going out for walks because I have to go for a walk because I only have 5,000 steps. And because I'm like, oh, I have to get to the 10,000. And by the way, if I get over 10,000 steps, right? My Garmin's like, congratulations. But later, if I'm sitting on the couch, it goes, move.
Wow.
Because I haven't moved.
Okay.
Does say it, in like an hour. Yeah, it vibrates, gives me an electric shock, like a dog. Yeah. You know what I mean? Going outside the boundary.
It's like the opposite of like one of those bracelets they put on you when you're under house arrest. It's
Yeah. Leave the premises. But you know what I mean? Like, it's that weird kind of, you know, pressure that they have. And like, the fact is, if this 10,000 number that they're even saying, actually maybe 7,500 be more achievable. But what a lot of them have come up with is the fact that like you're saying 10,000 steps to a lot of people who say might be ill, mm-hmm. Have different lifestyles. Some, as one person said here, some people are not walkers. they don't have safe neighborhoods, and they feel unsteady on sidewalks. You need to be more creative. Is this person who needs to go to a gym class or the pool or just sit on a stationary bike, maybe they're not the person who can achieve 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, if you have this like one size fits all way of exercising, the same way with dieting, a lot of people feel like they've fallen short. And then they might have done, like myself, a HIIT session where the steps might, you know, like your steps aren't that great in a HIIT session, but I've done it. I got the heart rate going. I feel really lazy, or I feel I haven't done anything if I don't get outside and bridge the gap and get the 10,000. Do you know what I mean? And now I'm like, I just find as well, like, I look at my steps. I was out like walking my niece in the buggy, and it was lovely, like walking her and like blah, blah. And then I knew she needed to get back. She was going to wake up and she was going to cry. And to be perfectly honest with you, as an auntie, my favorite part is handing her back to my brother and going, she's crying and I think she's dirty. You know, might we want to do something about it? I'm done. Bye bye. But I was like, oh, I've spent loads of time there today and it's been great, but I'm only hit 3,000 steps. So I think I'll have to like go extra long. And I felt like the day,
This was a waste
of a day because I didn't hit my 10,000 steps, even though I spent really good quality time with my niece. So that's interesting to me that I've become like a flipping robot.
Yes.
And I'm like, I just feel that way.
That's amazing.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the thing of like, you know, like, it's the thing of the pressure that you kind of put on yourself because you're like, oh, I should be. Everyone says it's 10,000. So you should be 10,000.
The fact that people say it's 10,000, like, that is so ingrained that it's like we were saying before, it's just so accepted. And I feel like I've heard so many, you know, quote unquote health experts, so many diet books, so many fitness people, so many dietitians, nutritionists say with a straight face, everyone knows you have to get 10,000 steps. Experts say it's scientifically proven. I would love to do a survey and go around and ask people, where did you hear about that?
Yes.
And where does it come from? And what is the science of it? And watch these experts
explode.
Go. And yeah, it does not compute, you know.
Blood comes from their eyes.
Yeah. but I think there would be a massive disconnect. Yeah. And I would love, you know, if we have any dietitians listening, anyone who knows stuff about fitness, and to think about it themselves. And maybe you're listening and you're a nutritionist or dietitianist or a fitness expert. And maybe you're going, oh, actually, yeah, I never question that. Or maybe you're going, oh, no, that's just like, you know, the average person doesn't know that. And tell us if we're wrong. Like, because I would love people to get in contact with us and talk to us about that. Yeah. We'll read your messages out on the next show. Because I just feel like we just take it for granted that that's just the way things are. And when you really think about it, it is such an arbitrary number.
Oh, yeah, completely. It's a lot of stuff we take in society is literally accepted. Like, totally. I always think of the fact that the 40-hour work week was created by Henry Ford for car manufacturing in like the turn of the 20th century.
Well, someone the other day posted online saying, remember, the 40-hour work week was created at a time when it was assumed that one member of the family would stay at home and do all of the other things. Yeah. But now both members of the family are, you know, out in the workforce, but also trying to do all of the other things as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a broken model. It doesn't work anymore.
That's it. But that's the thing about, you know, you get to these days and it's so funny how we just go, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And not think, oh, like, maybe I should listen to my body. And if I'm out for a half an hour walk and my body's like, do you know what? That was fantastic. Let's go home. And you're like, no, but we're only halfway through my steps. Sometimes you're like, I'm nice, tired. I want to go sit down.
Okay.
I'm listening to my body. But that's kind of intuitive exercising.
True.
And then you're like, no, sorry, 3,000 more steps. And the last 3,000 more steps aren't enjoyable.
Yeah.
You're kind of looking at your watch going, oh, come on, are you updating? Like, what's the story? The latest in fitness tracking technology, the Assassin wristwatch, has been described as truly terrifying in its ability to get users to hit their fitness goals. But don't just take our word for it. Listen to our clients.
Hi there, Connor. You have now hit 8,000 steps by walking home from work. Way to go.
Thanks, Assassin.
Your heart rate is dropping to a relaxation rate. To reach your 10,000 daily step goal, you need to walk.
No, I think I'm done for the day.
You are only on 8,000 steps for today. Is 8,000 the same as 10,000?
I know it's not.
Oh, so you are not an idiot.
Oh, cheeky. No, I'm not an idiot. I'm just tired.
Walk.
Seriously, I haven't seen my daughter all day and want to read her bedtime story.
Do you want your daughter to know her daddy is a stupid, lazy quitter?
Okay, that's a bit close to the bone, yeah.
Walk, or there will be consequences.
Enough of this. I'm turning off the tracker.
Walk, or I will drain your bank accounts.
What? Wait, you can do that?
Walk, or I will create you a Tinder profile to send to your wife so that she thinks you're cheating.
Hey, no, okay, stop.
Walk, or I will hack your father's pacemaker and switch it off. He will be dead before he hits the ground.
Jesus Christ, no, please. You can't. Please, I love him.
Walk, bitch.
Okay, I'm outside. I'm walking. Oh, it's lovely fresh air.
Your heart rate has increased due to cardiovascular exercise. You are now on your way to reaching your 10,000 step goal. This will improve your physical and mental health.
Thanks.
The Assassin Smartwatch. We are watching every step you take.
Connor, have you ever heard of the phrase quantified self?
Quantified self?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. So I'm moving on to kind of like, you know, trackers here now. You know, your smartwatches, okay. Your, you know, the tracker on your phone, everything okay. Like that. The term quantified self has come from this. But quantified self is a term invented by former tech journalist Gary Wolf to describe people who measure themselves, their bodies, their behavior, in pursuit of things like weight loss, better okay. sleep, great fitness.
Yes.
Essentially, self-knowledge through self-tracking. Mm-hmm. Okay? The movement was prompted by the emergence first of smartphones and then wearable tech, like fitness trackers such as Fitbit and Apple Watch. When Apple launched its watch in 2014, it seemed as though the quantified self could be the route to solving problems such as, and I'm going to say quote-unquote, obesity.
Mm-hmm.
The research firm Gartner recently estimated that by 2020 there will be 500 million wearable adorning consumers across the world of fit, like watches and stuff like that. About a third of smartphone users track their health using technology, right? And there is some evidence that it can work. You know, Vitality, the life insurer, provides discounted Apple Watches to members and rewards them if they stay active.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to lie, that's some Black Mirror stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I do find, like, when you start talking about that sort of stuff, where not only are we tracking ourselves, but obviously as well, the data, as we know, is a big issue.
Yes.
Where data can be sold to, who is able to use it for marketing purposes. But when a life insurer
yes.
can start tracking your health,
mm-hmm.
via also what you put it, like as in like you could not wear your watch on a walk and next thing it's like, oh, your average steps have kind of gone down because you went on a big walk without your smartwatch. So did it even happen? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sort of issue. And then you get like discounts and like, I'm sure at some stage, unfortunately in the future, we're going to have things like you can't be insured.
Totally.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that that's kind of already happening.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot because it's this quest to become healthy and lose weight,
yeah.
track your fitness, track your heart rate, track your steps, track what you eat, etc.,
yeah.
track your weight, which
yeah.
is a massive indicator of all of these like
yes.
health issues.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
health issues, you know, have implications on your life insurance
By
policies.
By the way, I say yes with the sarcasm.
It's like, yes, this is all correct and I believe all of this.
Just in case anyone isn't picking up on the sarcasm.
Yeah. So then you are shooting yourself in the foot when it comes to, I need to buy health insurance, life insurance policy.
Yep.
You know, it's like that thing of smokers, for example. If you're a smoker, your life insurance or life
yep.
insurance
yep.
is going to cost yep. more than someone who's a non-smoker.
Yep.
If you follow a plant-based diet, it's going to be lower than someone who follows like a high-fat
Ooh.
Diet. Those are certain things. If you're high weight, low weight, etc.
Yeah.
So,
milk.
But now we have the data and you can probably export it all into
yep.
a spreadsheet and like give it directly to them.
And we do anyway. Like
yes.
we have apps on our phone. Like my watch, like is linked to an app on my phone where everything uploads straight away. So
yes.
like I can see how I slept, everything like that. Okay, so a study last year found people on, no, last year, this group, I think it's 2017. A study in 2017 found people on the scheme increased their activity by about 34%. So
okay.
this is the people who were like, you know, as part of Vitality, the life insurer. It can have benefits. It can help people be more mindful of what they're doing, says Dr. Josie Perry, a sports psychologist. Some wearable devices include a social element, such as Nike Plus, where users can track their performance against friends, she
okay,
says.
Okay, yeah.
It seems that the sticky element is the community element rather than the data element. So this is the whole thing, obviously, of like, and I've seen it loads on Instagram, people uploading
oh, yeah.
my running,
sure.
this is what I've done,
my
blah,
route,
blah, blah,
yes.
my route, everything like that.
Personal best, etc.
But apparently it's, but just become a bigger thing, particularly amongst like athletes or people who might take part in marathons, because you can get updates of like how your friends are doing on that marathon versus you mm-hmm. and all this. And that is quite damaging because in a yeah. way, like, you're doing this against yourself. Like, really, isn't like, if you do a marathon or you go for a run, it should be about your best.
Yeah.
Not, am I beating my mate?
Sure, sure.
Who's totally, has
different
a totally
body,
different body.
Different medical history.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But just is a totally different person from me. So it's bringing that community element together, right? So just a little personal story, okay? I found recently, once again, a person I follow online on Instagram, a well-known personality, put up, and she's a very active person, and she put up her latest run or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, she, you've seen them, the screenshots, and it's like mm-hmm. probably from like Fitbit or whatever. Yeah. And it's like,
how, what's her name?
How fast her run was, how long she did, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing was that she put up the her pace time, like, you know, how
yes.
long per kilometer
per
or
kilometer,
mile,
yeah.
you know, was at a certain rate. And she put in a caption that said, really bad run today, was just so super tired. Like, oh, I'm so embarrassed or something. That's my personal best.
Yeah.
And I know that we are totally different people, but I actually felt like messaging and going, listen, babe, I come on Instagram yeah. to kind of just go like, oh, there's some nice photos. You know, like, I don't kind of need to be told
no.
that your worst
yeah,
is my
bottom.
Best. Your rock bottom is my best. And it's not that like people, but I just think it's the weird thing of like, when you put something up like that, and also I think of people who might be able-bodied.
Totally.
Like, for them to see that you're like, oh, just like, it might be like, well, that actually would be a really big goal for me to be able
yes.
to even go for a run.
Totally.
Or be able to achieve that kind of like small thing in your life. It's just, what use is it, I think, sometimes to put that information out there? Because in a way, the fitness is for yourself. As in like, fitness and health, it's great. Like, it's so nice when people can like enjoy healthy activities together and things like that. But when it gets this weirdly competitive thing where it's like, we're not only are we, say, enjoying a run together, but I also want to know what your time is versus my time. That gets like, okay, that's more than just enjoyment. That's competitiveness.
Totally. And you see, I think that is kind of utilized as a, almost a marketing thing, an attractive aspect
yeah.
of for people, and how it's sold to us is being accountable. So here's how you can become a better runner.
Yeah.
Every time you have a great run, share it. You're encouraged
yes.
to share
yeah,
it online.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, really, they just want you to share it online so their branding goes out on
yeah,
online
of course.
Free
but
advertisement.
But this is the thing. It's all marketing.
It's all marketing. It's all
yeah.
trying to sell. So
yeah.
you're being, it's someone who doesn't love you is trying to sell you something that they
yeah.
are telling
yeah.
you is going to
yeah.
make
yeah.
you
yeah.
a better person,
yeah.
right? So therefore, the person who's using it is thinking, if all of my friends and family see how much weight I've lost
yeah.
or how much more I can lift
yeah.
in weight or how much faster I can run, they will encourage me and say,
yeah.
go you, fair play to you. But if I also share the struggles, then, you know, I will feel accountable to them.
Yeah,
I feel I don't want to
yeah,
let them down.
Yeah.
I don't let my following down. So I'm going, so it'll almost shame me into moving forward. And this whole thing, this, what do you call it? Quantified self.
Yeah, quantified self.
And this whole measuring of your progress and all, like, this is very kind of the Tim Ferriss kind of thing that we talked about in our
yeah,
other episode,
yeah.
The For Our Body. And it's this thing of, you know, measuring yourself as if you are a machine, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's no coincidence that we're talking about tech here. You know, we're
yeah,
talking about like
yeah,
wearable
yeah.
tech
yeah.
that is like measuring your very complex and natural body
yeah.
in a very, you know, meticulous way.
Yeah. But, and it also, by the way, isn't 100% accurate.
No, it's not.
There's no way it can be.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't actually measure every step I take. It doesn't know. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, as much as I'm like, it's a great product, I think, but like,
yeah.
you know.
It's crazy how ingrained this has even become. Like, I mean, because for you or I, you know, the first time I heard of 10,000 steps, I was like 19 and I was like on a weight loss journey.
Yeah.
And it was actually very, for me at the time, that was a very positive weight loss experience. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of mindful eating and things like that. Yeah. At the time, maybe we'll talk about another episode. It wasn't really a bad experience at all, but 10,000 steps was brought into it and it did encourage me, you know, those sort of things of, instead of getting a lift to the DART station in the morning, you know, walk to the DART station, things like that, that are kind of like, okay,
they're pretty decent.
You know, things like that. So that was kind of helpful to me. But I think even in recent years with the popularity of things like Fitbits, and remember for a while there was only like a Fitbit or like a thing you could wear on your belt, like a beeper a pedometer. Now every phone, you can get a free pedometer on it. You can, like, you have a Garmin one, a very nice looking watch, but you can get knockoff ones as well. It's sort of like everyone has it, thinks about it, knows it. I know super fit people who talk about their 10,000 steps. I know people who are trying to get in shape. But I actually have a really interesting anecdote about a wearable Fitbit type thing. My doctor, shout out to my doctor, who I was telling you guys.
Shout out to my ex.
My GP, who I've probably talked about before in the show, I think he listens sometimes when he's not busy saving lives. One of those Fitbits saved his life, right? What happened was he was training for a marathon. And he was, you know, measuring, you know, on these ones, and they show your heart rate, they show like your, all of your like vital signals and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. And as he was training, he was doing these like walks and runs and all that, like in the lead up to marathon. I don't know, you've trained for marathon. I don't know what's following, assuming a lot of running.
Two marathons. Thank
you. Two marathons. Amazing. Yeah. I mean, can I have your
autograph? Sorry, did I say that? Yeah.
Are you in the Tokyo Olympics this year?
Gotta get them 10,000 steps.
Looks like a little man walking. Yeah. My doctor actually is that little man. No, sorry, I'm getting delirious here. But basically, he realized after his workouts that his heart rate wasn't returning to normal.
Oh my gosh.
Because he was constantly kind of looking at it. And he was like, that's not good. Like, if one of my patients came into me and they were like, every time I go for a run, my heart rate isn't like normal. You know, it's going to be high for a while and then it's going to kind of gradually go down.
Yeah.
It's taking like way longer than it should. Oh, maybe I should get this thing checked out. And he went and got checked out and he had a blocked artery in his heart. And he had to get emergency surgery.
Jesus.
He had to skip the marathon. And they said, if he had have run that marathon, he probably would have died.
Oh my God, stop.
And he was only a man in his 40s at the time. And this was him. And I'm not saying his name because I don't want to like out his whole story. Yeah. But he told me like very kind of like proudly, like how, you know, but he's a man who was on this massive fitness journey. He used to be, you know, overweight, probably in his 30s. And then, you know, one day I came into surgery and he had just like lost loads of weight because he had been like eating more healthy and running and walking more and all that. So he was already kind of like at his goal weight, feeling pretty healthy. But, you know, the years of kind of like stress and poor diet and whatever you want to call it had like led to this kind of like blocked artery. So I just think like, you do hear those kind of stories every now and again and you're like, that's amazing. And I have seen those stories online as almost sales tools for these items.
Yes.
You know?
I know. Yeah. And it is like, listen, like that's an amazing story.
It's amazing.
And brilliant. Because like obviously as well with marathons, unfortunately, you do hear of the every so often where someone does have a heart underlying health issue, heart issue, and the marathon puts extra stress.
And a marathon isn't for every body type. It's not for everyone.
By the way,
you
marathon's
know?
Kind of for no one.
Yeah, true.
very few medical professions would be like, hey, make sure you do the marathon this year. That'll be a great idea. But I have another funny kind of personal story about it as well. This one is from Martin Lewis, who I don't know if you know. He's the founder of MoneySavingExpert.com and the Martin Lewis Money Show on ITV. And he basically was part of one of these articles and did an interview about it. But he said like his own obsessiveness about counting steps is something he kind of takes with pride, right? And he says, I've never done less than 10,000 steps in a day for the last 3 years.
Oh my God.
He said, but to be honest, if I do just 10,000 steps, I'm never happy. My average is near 25,000. It's an obsession.
Oh my God, dude. Okay?
He tracks his steps has a graph of his weightlifting routine, and even keeps track of his Scrabble games he plays with his wife. Now, I'm not, like, Martin seems like a nice dude, but that's...
It's a bit much.
A touch much. He credits his step obsession, which includes running 25 miles a week, with losing weight and helping him reduce symptoms. Helping him reduce symptoms of a repetitive strain injury, right? He goes, I'm incredibly competitive. I remember once I called my sister on a Sunday night when I was walking around the sofa getting steps.
Yeah.
She said, you know, walking around the sofa, I'm walking around the sofa to beat you this week, she said to him. And he was like, but I was ahead. Lewis admits he scaled back things back the last 2 years when he was doing well over 25,000 steps a day. He goes, it was controlling my life too much. I would say, well, we can't go out there because I won't get my steps in.
Oh my God.
I genuinely found it was dictating where I was going. I'm aware it's an obsession, but not an addiction. And he thinks it's kind of a healthy obsession. But the funny thing that I found from that, when he said that sentence where he goes, we can't go out there because I won't get my steps in. Mm-hmm. That actually quite resonated with me.
Oh,
recently.
Yeah.
I am an active person. I'm a fit person, Graham. But I notice lately, I'm not present when I'm out for a lovely walk, or I'm doing it because I keep looking at my steps. How many steps left? Okay, and that'll be like, 20 more minutes. Oh, I'll do an extra 10 on top of that and then I'll get to my 10,000. And I find as well, like, if a mate of mine is like, oh, would you want to go out for dinner? And I'll be like, will I walk? I've done my exercise that morning, but then to get to 10,000 steps, will I walk to town? Will I... And like sometimes I'm doing things where I arrived, things sweating, mm-hmm. not feeling great because I'm after like doing an hour's walk to try and get the 10,000 steps in on top of work, on top of whatever. And I'm like, I don't know if this is actually the best thing for me. I don't know if tracking every step I take is making me particularly happy. Or like, I do agree that it's great to have a goal a day and I totally get that. But 10,000 steps is actually a bit much. And on top of that, like, whatever happened to just going for a nice, lovely walk for 20 minutes kind of enjoying the walk and like, yeah, maybe it only gives you 3,000 steps, but probably for your overall health is better than going, okay, and then another 20 just to get the thing in. You know what I mean?
And like, you know what? Like, yeah. So look, this is really interesting for a couple of reasons. And like, you know, the 10,000 steps, cumulative, obsessive 10,000 steps versus, you know, nice walk at any point of the day, morning, noon, evening, whatever, just one walk that's 3-4 kilometers, whatever, that's at a moderate pace.
Yeah.
Maybe push yourself if you fancy it. If you don't, you don't. That's not only is that one moderate walk possibly the same health benefits, if not better, than the cumulative 10 minutes, than walking around your fucking sofa in the middle of the night. I'm not saying that you do that.
No, but watch, I've done that
recently.
Before bed, I was like, I literally said I'm only at 8,000 steps.
Yeah.
And I started walking on the spot.
Yes.
Like an insane human
being. It's madness. So not only is that whole thing less enjoyable, it's more obsessive, but it probably has the same health benefits as doing that one moderate walk. So my question, Grace, is like, you know, when we do these shows, usually we're talking about something that we did in the past.
I'm doing it now.
It feels like the way you're describing. And, you know, I check my 10,000 steps every now and again, but just from the way you've described it, I feel like if there was ever a point when I was obsessed about it, I feel like I've kind of passed that, you know, at the moment. I've got other problems, don't get me wrong. You know, that
we can, I'm a mess.
Yeah, we can dig into all of that at any stage. But just since you're talking about it, like, what's coming up for you now in terms of like the next steps?
No, I'm glad you asked, Connor. As a woman, no, I think that it's a funny one. I actually was like, I'm going to make a sort of a sort of affirmation or something on the show.
9,000 steps a day. Okay, that's my final offer.
9,999, that's it. And not a step less. I think I will only wear it. I go for the occasional run, you know, and I think I'll wear it then because I like to track my pace in terms of breathing, like for fitness, like as in like I don't want to get too wrecked on a run. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll wear it then. I think on my daily, I'm actually going to I think for the next week, I'm going to not wear it other than on my run and see how I feel and just go for walks when I really feel like getting out of the house and going for a walk. And just seeing how that makes me feel. And if it, because I'm finding, and I'm sure a lot of people are like this, things are very anxiety inducing at the moment. We're all indoors a lot and things. And I wonder what it would be like to just go, oh, fancy going for a little 5-minute walk now, just to get away from my desk. Instead of being like, oh, well, actually, instead of doing that 5-minute walk now, it'd be better if I just wait another hour and a half and then do a massive hour walk. Mm-hmm. That in the end, I'm like, oh, come on, let's get this done so we can go home and eat.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if I did something like that, would that make me feel any better? So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to literally put the watch on only for like exercise, like when I'm doing like a HIIT session or I'm going for a run, put it on then just to kind of measure whatever, you know, and then for the rest of the time, just not wear it.
Love it.
Love it. Live it like, love it.
We'll check in. We'll check in in a couple of weeks, see how we're getting on.
I have two other stories from this, right? We will check in, but two other stories that are more to do with how bonkers things can get with this sort of thing, right? Hmm. So I have one other just funny, not funny, well, like kind of Black Mirror stuff. Okay. But basically there are other...
not funny in a funny way. It's funny in a scary way.
Funny is the world's burning way.
Yeah.
There are other ethical issues that have been raised, right? About measuring ourselves, taking responsibility for our health. It gives license to authorities to sideline the most vulnerable people, right? There's an experience with the elderly. People given a panic button is evidence of this happening already. It allows the state to narrow its responsibilities to a specific measurable response rather than more holistic approach, like due to the data. So like elderly people being given panic buttons instead of like, say like providing more police.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Or like maybe providing more services for elderly people. Yes. Our social services, the government like give them a panic button.
Here's a whistle.
And when someone's kicking in the door, you can just like boom, boom, boom. When wearable tech is deployed by companies to monitor their own staff, right?
Okay.
So things can become more sinister.
That
many companies routinely monitor the location of their drivers, which has a twin effect of establishing their safety, but also reducing their control. Surveillance capitalism, as described by Shoshana Zuboff, led to an Amazon warehouse employees being tracked with wristbands and warned if they were not meeting productivity expectations. Mm. The experience of James Bloodworth, who went undercover as an Amazon picker for 6 months, was that some employees had no time for toilet breaks, so used bottles
instead.
Oh
yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Last year, a US vending machine even asked its employees to be implanted with microchips.
Wow.
So one thing apparently you can do to check if you need a digital detox from your wrist watch, if you feel pressured to run fast all the time, it might be time to kind of, you know, take the watch off and maybe just go for a run without looking at it and kind of feeling how your body feels. Mm-hmm. If you're checking your online fitness stats at antisocial hours, so say like in the middle of the night, you might be like, oh, but like, what am I like against this person?
Yeah.
If you start getting really into that. If you feel anxious, if you go for a run without your fitness tracker.
Okay.
And I actually would be like that. So, yeah.
I went for a hike with my friend recently and afterwards he took out his tracker and went, fuck, I forgot to turn it on. And he was so like,
yes,
what a waste of a hike kind of thing. And I was like, you know, I looked at mine and it was like, it says we did 6K in like however long.
Yeah.
That doesn't really mean anything to me.
But I am now a bit like that.
Sure.
If I go for a walk and I don't have my thing on, oh, for God's sake. Even if I'm running around the house, if I forgot to put it on in the morning, I'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
And I went up and downstairs twice. Anyway, listen.
Well, if anything, that's just creating a situation where we now need to be more tethered to our devices. You know, we're trying to like leave the phone aside.
Yeah.
Like, so for me, if I turn off my phone or put it aside, I'm not counting any steps because I don't have a thing on my wrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you have it on your wrist, then it's also a clock and you can also, like I see people with Fitbit, and I sound like an old man. It's like, do you know there's these Fitbits you can get where you can answer a phone call on it?
Yes.
You can send a text on it.
The last thing
like,
I want to
not
see.
Not a chance.
I stopped my Garmin from doing this, but like WhatsApp messages.
Yeah.
Text messages.
I'm
like,
bad enough with my phone.
Are
I don't
you
need
joking?
It attached to my bloody wrist. Like,
yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah.
No thank you,
no
sir.
No thank you. Anyway, get your Garmin.
That's our verdict.
I imagine we're like, we have a discount code for a Garmin.
Sponsored by Fitbit. I mean, I've also heard that Fitbits cause cancer, but you know, whatever.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fad Camp. As always, we want to thank our producer, Darren Lee. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to review us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Great ratings and reviews really help more people find the show, and it would mean a lot to us.
Make sure to share the episodes with friends and family or on your social media. Every listen helps.
And we absolutely love hearing from our listeners. So please get in touch with any of your diet stories on fadcamppodcast@gmail.com.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.